Well, here we are, Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Lawson. Kent Steinbeck at my right side. Okay, give me five, keep me alive, Kent. And we're coming to you from Herb's house in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for joining us. Great study in store today. We're in John 15 and verse 3. The title of this is Cleansed Branches. Cleansed Branches. And I want to read verse 3. This is in this upper room discourse, and it's following Jesus's I am statement. I'm the true vine, and the Father is my vine, is the vine dresser. Now, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, who's he talking to here, Kent? Well, he's talking to the people in the room, and Judas has already left. And this leaves only the 11 disciples who had a true abiding relationship with him. We would say a saving knowledge of Christ. So he addresses them and says, you are already clean. Now, to be clean here means to be washed. It means to be cleansed from all moral filthiness and all defilement of soul. Every stain of guilt has been purged and removed. And all of this has taken place, he says, because of the word. The word here refers to the gospel. It refers to the message of salvation that Jesus came and spoke to them. And he preached the gospel and the truth to the disciples, just like he did to the large crowds there. If any man shall come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Well, that's the word that he preached to them. They heard it. They believed it, they received it, and the result of that is Jesus says that you are already clean. There's only one way for our hearts and our souls and our lives to be made clean, and that is through the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Romans 1:16 is the power of God unto salvation. He adds at the end of verse 3 here, concerning this word, he says, which I have spoken to you. You see, God's primary way to get the word to us is for it to be spoken to us. It speaks really to the primacy of the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word and the one-on-one witnessing of the word. God likes and delights in his word being spoken to others. And it's really meant to enter in through our ear, into our mind, and then to our heart. And that's how Jesus brought the word to them. That's how it was brought to me when I was 17 years old and listening to the message of the truth from John chapter 2 and the wedding at in Cana. I heard that message on the new birth that continued into John 3. I heard it and entered my ear, into my mind, down into my heart and my will, believed it. And Jesus is acknowledging here that's what happened to them. And the word that Jesus spoke, he has told us repeatedly in John's gospel, is the word the word that the Father gave to him to speak to them. So even the message did not originate with Jesus during his earthly ministry. The message he brought was really the message of heaven and was the message of glory, the message of salvation, to enter through the narrow gate and be on the broad, the narrow path headed for life. So, Kent, I love this verse. It speaks of what God has already done in our lives to wash the moral filth from our lives, to leave us pure and clean and spotless and blameless before the Lord. So let's talk about this a little bit. What questions do you have for
us?
Well,
I just think of Steve. I've known you for a long time, and many years, and I would call you. I would say this verse is probably one of the defining verses of your life, because I would call you an evangelist, an expositor that has a heart for people being saved, and someone who wants to preach the word to see salvation.
Yeah.
With that being said, I know that you also have a grave concern for people, like you've talked about a bunch in Matthew 7, where people unfortunately feel like they're saved and they're not saved.
Yeah.
And so can you just give us, again, a few moments of how important it is that you make sure, and I know this is in your heart, that you do really know the Word and you really truly are clean and saved.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kent, as you know, I was a pastor for almost 35 years, and I saw hundreds of people converted during that time, all glory to God. But in the midst of that, I would say 19 out of those 20 people were those who thought they were a Christian, thought they were saved.
And this is I mean, we're talking right here about Judas, right?
Yeah.
Judas and the 12.
Yeah. And in reality, they were not until they heard the truth of the Word.
Wow.
And when they finally heard the truth of the Word, it was like light bulbs came on.
Mm-hmm.
and they realized, I've never heard the real gospel, I've never believed the real gospel, and I've never seen fruit from the real gospel in my life. And the reasons for that are severalfold. One, that they have heard a message all their life in church that lacked the truth of the gospel, that is, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They always thought there was something they had to do, something they had to add, even just joining a church, coming to church, being around other Christians, being kind to other people. Somehow, some way, even if God was paying for it, they could add the tip on top and somehow contribute to their salvation.
Right.
And no one is saved until you come all the way to trust exclusively in Jesus Christ. So that's one way. And another way is people do hear the truth. They're in a church that does preach the truth, but their minds are just preoccupied with worldly things.
Wow.
The truth just goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't really stick. It doesn't register with them. And there reaches a point where their conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron.
Mm.
And they become insensitive to the things of God and have a false assurance that they're right with God, when in reality they've never believed all along. And I would say the other thing is they have prayed a prayer, gone through the motions of receiving Christ, but their life has never changed. There's never been any evidence. There's no fruit in their life, no life change. And so they're really just kidding themselves to think they have new life, that they're a new creature, but they don't exhibit any of that in their life.
Mm.
And so that is a false assurance. And so, Kent, your question is so spot on. And those who are true believers have been cleansed by the Word, and so they now have a clean conscience.
And they know it.
And they know it. There's a whole book in the Bible about knowing your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The book of 1 John.
Yeah.
1 John 5, verse 13. These things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know that we have eternal life. And so how could you go from death to life? How could you go from darkness to light and not know it?
That's good.
How could you become a new creature in Christ? The old things passed away and new things come, and you're not certain about that? The greatest miracle that God ever performs, bigger than creating the universe out of nothing, is for Him to create new spiritual life. And you just, I'm unaware if that really has actually happened or not.
Not sure, yeah.
My desires have never changed. Mm-hmm. My ambitions have never changed. My life direction has never changed. Well, that's a clear indication you've never been born again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for those of you watching, and Kent only asked me one question, but you just put your finger on a live nerve, Kent. We want God's best for you, and we want you to know that you know the Lord. And so, I would encourage you to be in the Word of God and understand what it truly is to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and to truly know who Christ is. If you've been born again, there will be a dramatic alteration of your life from the inside out. I pray that God has done this miracle of grace in your life, and if not, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near.